Blog Talk Radio.
And all access call inclusive.
Hello and welcome to the On the Clock Special Report. I'm your host, Robert Brewer, a.k.a. Football Rob, and today we are going to be taking a look at the New England Patriots and basically what they have to do in the offseason after having a great 2010, 14-2, and definitely a disappointing performance in the playoffs, losing at home to the Jets in the divisional round. So we're going to be talking all about the New England Patriots today, and joined with me right now is Ian Rappaport of the Boston Herald. You can check out his blogs on bostonherald.com, and you can also check him out on Twitter, twitter.com/rapsheet. You can see everything that he has to offer. So, Ian, welcome to the show. First of all, I think we have to begin by talking about Tom Brady. And he was recently videotaped in Brazil, and I'm going to pretty much say it like this. I am a big Tom Brady fan. I love what he does on the field. He is a true professional. But that video clip, he just looked like an outright fruitcake. I think this definitely hurts his image.
Well, thanks for having me. And I'm not sure it does hurt his image. You know, obviously he's a terrible dancer. I mean, I don't think that can be debated. He was dancing more or less on one foot, still a month away from throwing on the field with both feet, as he's doing now. But, you know, one thing about Tom Brady, and it's why his teammates love him and laugh about him, is that he pretty much throws himself into any situation and sort of does what he needs to do, puts his entire self in there, whether it's, you know, delivering a tirade on the sidelines like in, you know, Pittsburgh last year that was intense and the kind of thing that makes, you know, the linemen who know him well laugh a little bit, or whether it's dancing at Carnival awkwardly to whatever strange music they were playing. Brady doesn't care, and he looks a little silly, and I think he's okay with that. So
if anything, it may enhance his image,
even though he's a terrible dancer.
We always compare him to Joe Montana. You wouldn't see Joe Montana in the off season doing anything like that.
I don't know. Joe Montana has been in some pretty bad commercials, and you know
Skechers,
he's been in
Skechers.
Yeah, I mean he's been in some situations that are kind of hilarious too. You know, one thing about some of these guys, and you know whether it's you know Joe Namath appearing in those leggings ads or you know, Marino and the Isotoner commercials or Brady dancing or, you know, they're committed to whatever they do, which is why a lot of these guys are great athletes and great performers. And, you know, Brady is obviously just a horrendous dancer, but he was attending the thing, you know, Carnival with his wife, and yeah, he looked pretty silly, but he was pretty committed to looking silly, so you got to admire that.
Well, definitely rubbed me the wrong way, but I'm sure he doesn't care too much about my opinion. But he's definitely still one of the top quarterbacks in the league. And you mentioned his foot injury, stress fracture surgery immediately after the Jets game. What's the latest on his foot? Because, you know, you're looking at his career. He was drafted in 2010. He's been in the league for a decade. Is the body starting to wear down, or do you think he's going to come back just as better and stronger as ever in 2011?
Well, I think he has had a lot of wear and tear. You know, he takes a lot of hits. When you throw as many times as he does, I think that's, you know, that's really the only way it can be. You know, he doesn't take, you know, say, Roethlisberger hits, but he's shifty in the pocket, and he does what he can to buy himself time. So, you know, this was his fifth surgery in a decade, which is a lot, but, you know, not horrendous. But, you know, he really does it the right way, I think. You know, with knee surgery, I mean, he came back vigorously, and, you know, every checkpoint he hit, whether it was, you know, starting the first preseason game, being ready for the season, or even, you know, throwing by camp, and I think that's, you know, that's how you prevent your body from breaking down, which is making sure you recover fully. You know, this year, he, you know, it wasn't like, for instance, Ty Warren, you know, having hip surgery before the season and, you know, losing his season. You know, it was having surgery after the season as soon as possible, get it done, get it better, and move on. And, you know, Brady was pretty professional in how it's being handled.
No, as always, definitely a consummate professional. And we are talking with Ian Rappaport of the Boston Herald. You can check out his Twitter blog on twitter.com/rapsheet. So, you know, looking ahead to the draft, Ian, the Patriots have 2 first rounders, 2 second rounders, and 2 third rounders. And given, like you said, the injury history of Tom Brady and possibly, you know, he's been in the league over a decade. He had the ACL surgery, missed an entire season, and just recently the stress fracture in the foot. I wouldn't be shocked if the Patriots spent one of those 6 picks on a quarterback. I want to know what your thoughts on that are.
Yeah, I think that's something that they will potentially do. You know, they've tried to draft a quarterback fairly high in the past. You know, Kevin O'Connell, they swung and missed in the 3rd round. One of a slew of 3rd round misses they've had recently. You know, they have Brian Hoyer now, who's an former undrafted free agent from Michigan State, entering his 3rd year, and they like him. I mean, they definitely like Hoyer. They like him enough to have carried only 2 quarterbacks really for the last 2 years. But there are several options I think the Patriots have, whether it's, you know, late 2nd round pick, whether it's, you know, any of the 2 3rd round picks. You know, they worked out Andy Dalton from TCU. You know, I know they took a good look at Christian Ponder from Florida State at the Combine. There are plenty of quarterbacks, sort of middle-round quarterbacks, that they could select. And, you know, if they miss, well, you know, they always have Brady. And if they hit, then in, you know, 3 years they'll have an interesting decision to make.
And I definitely think you missed a big name, that quarterback there, Cam Newton. I'm wondering if there is an availability and Cam Newton is there at 28, do you think the Patriots would be tempted at all? Because, you know, you're looking at a situation, Cam Newton on the Patriots, they've taken chances on questionable character players before, like Randy Moss and Corey Dillon and et cetera. You know, 28 would be a nice place to have a developmental prospect, kind of like Cam Newton. So what would you say to that if Newton was on the board and the Patriots were on the clock?
Oh, I don't think he's going to get there, not even close to there. You know, a guy with that many athletic skills, I mean, I would be, even with all the questions, I'd be shocked if he got past number 5 in the draft. However, you know, if he was there at 28, would they select him? You know, I just don't know. My guess would be no. You know, they had Dez Bryant, a sick athlete, last year, first at 22, and then I think at 24. I forget exactly when he went to the Cowboys, but I know the Patriots had at least one chance to pick him, and they didn't do it. You know, they make some character gambles, but, you know, the ones they've done have been guys who can help them on the field absolutely immediately. Corey Dillon, Randy Moss were 2 good examples. You know, Rodney Harrison had some concerns, mostly with on the field, you know, headhunting issues, and he was sort of at the end of career when they took him. But, you know, it's always been guys who could help them on the field and willing to minimize the distraction. You know, I don't know if Cam Newton would help them immediately. I don't think he would. And I don't know if he's committed to taking a backseat to, you know, the Patriot way, like a lot of those guys were when they were looking for their last chance. So I don't think that would be a good fit at all.
All right. And, you know, other positions of need, I would have to say that the Patriots are really lacking a deep threat at wide receiver. And one of the main reasons is because they got rid of their guy, Randy Moss, in the middle of the season last year. And I need your opinion on this, Ian, because I think it was totally an asinine decision to get rid of Randy Moss, because you look at the Patriots-Jet game, and Tom Brady could not threaten down the field that entire game. I think Randy Moss would have definitely helped that, and I know Randy Moss was having he had his worst season as a pro, didn't even eclipse 400 yards for the entire season between the three teams that he played for. However, that kind of deep threat could have definitely changed the outcome of that game. I believe that getting rid of Randy Moss cost the Patriots a chance to go to the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, I don't really know about that. I mean, they did finish 14-2, highest scoring offense in the league, 8 straight wins to end the season. You know, Brady was the MVP for what he did without Moss.
But they needed him for that one game, didn't they?
Well, they had him for the first meeting.
I'd rather have Randy Moss and Deion Branch in a big playoff game any day of the week.
Well, you know, I think what you're underestimating is, well, two factors. One, I think Brady became a better quarterback without Randy Moss, at least with this year's version of Randy Moss. You know, he targeted him 10 times in that first meeting against the Jets, and, you know, threw two of his 4 interceptions all year. I think Moss only caught 2 passes. Now, one was a spectacular one-handed touchdown, but Brady was throwing to him and literally locked in on him, and I think it made him a worse quarterback. So when Moss left, Brady got better. I don't even think he would have been had anywhere close to the season, the MVP season he had, if Moss was there. That's one factor. And then I think the other factor is Moss leaving the locker room helped. Now, he was well-liked by his teammates. He was certainly well-liked by the receiving corps, but if you wonder what kind of a distraction it would have been, all you needed to do was check out the press conference he held after the resounding opening win against the Bengals. You know, he took all the spotlight of the win and put it all on himself, and that only would have got worse. So in removing Randy Moss and getting a pretty decent value for him, you know, now it looks like a lopsided trade, you know, getting a third, but I think in the end they benefited, and, you know, he would have been a free agent now anyway, and they would let him walk for nothing. So I think it was a pretty good deal for them.
Well, I guess we have a difference of opinion there, because I think clearly I understand that. Look, he's a head case. He's a knucklehead. He does the whole, you know, that quote that he had, "I play when I want to play." He will never live that down. He could win 4 Super Bowls in a row, for all I care, but nobody will forget those quotes, "I play when I want to play." And he had a very bad season. I understand that. But when you're 6'4" and you're going up against a Darrell Revis kind of cornerback and a very aggressive blitzing defense like the Jets have, and, you know, they have a swagger that the Jets have never had in as long as I've been watching them. I mean, you need a weapon like Randy Moss, and I just think they really dropped the ball. And look, you know, I'm pretty much the only one criticizing, because, you know, everybody loves Bill Belichick's track record. You know, they trade down and they still get a great player like Devin McCourty, and, you know, he's a genius at the draft. But when you're talking about a third-round pick in exchange for Randy Moss, and you have a chance to beat the Jets in your own home stadium with a guy like that, I think that was a bad move. So, you know, going over some other things, you know, pertinent to the draft here, we're talking with Ian Rappaport, and he's with the Boston Herald. You can check out his blog on twitter.com/rapsheet. I was reading your blog, and another player that pops into mind is Mark Ingram. Now, obviously, the Patriots don't have a franchise running back. So at 17, do you think he'd still be there? Because I'm looking at the Redskins need a running back, Miami needs a running back, and so does Detroit, for that matter. Do you think he's there at 17?
I think Miami is probably the biggest threat. But, you know, the more questions – Mark Ingram is not the fastest running back in the draft. He's not the biggest.
Nope.
He's not the quickest. He doesn't have the most complete resume. He's got the Heisman Trophy, but he had a difficult junior season. And, you know, there are whispers now that, you know, that knee injury he said is better, you know, maybe an arthritic condition that he deals with his entire career. So the more all that comes up, the more I think that he's going to slip and slide through the draft, kind of like, you know, maybe a little like Emmitt Smith did, just, you know, a really serious talent who kind of just slips and slips and slips. I think if he's there at 17, the Patriots should draft him. And if he's there at 28, they absolutely should draft him. You know, it's not their biggest need. You know, I think defensive end is their biggest need. Outside linebacker, guard, those are all some big needs. But the Patriots will never be able to sign a big-time free agent running back. The cost of a in his prime running back is really too high for them in a trade. So the draft is their only opportunity to get a Pro Bowl running back on their team. And, you know, drafting Mark Ingram, a guy who would fit their system, who played in a similar-ish scheme at Alabama in a similar program, who can pass block, who's smart, who can one cut and go, who can be on the field all three downs, I think they should select him if he comes to them.
I agree with you there, Ian, but I'll throw a little curveball at you. They haven't picked a first-round running back since Lawrence Maroney in 06, and it seems like Bill Belichick, that's his M.O. pretty much, to get any running back off the scrap heap, whether it's a guy like Danny Woodhead or Ben-Jarvis Green-Ellis or even Eccles was in there a couple of years ago. I mean, they don't really, or a guy like Fred Taylor who's on the back end of his career, they don't really invest a lot in running backs. So what makes you think that they would spend the first rounder on a running back like Ingram?
Because of how it helps them in every part of their offense. You know, I think one reason they traded up and selected Rob Gronkowski and one reason they selected Aaron Hernandez, a tight end, in last year's draft was because it gave them real unpredictability in their offense. They could put both tight ends on the field along with, you know, two receivers, and they would never tip run or pass. They would never give any opponent any indication as to what they're doing. Whereas now, you know, you put Danny Woodhead on the field on, say, third down, you put Ben-Jarvis Green-Ellis on the field first or second down, you know, it indicates sort of what they're doing run or pass. You know, each of those guys have specific roles. You know, Ben-Jarvis Green-Ellis is rarely going to catch a pass out of the backfield. You know, Woodhead is rarely going to pound it up the middle in a, you know, any sort of power formation. They need a running back to give them, you know, complete unpredictability and variation in their offense. Someone who can be on the field for all three downs and participate in any type of play. And I think that will help. That's worth it to me because it will help their entire offense be more efficient.
I definitely agree. I just, you know, based on the track record of Belichick just taking, you know, average guys and plugging them in, it seems like every week there's a new running back for the New England Patriots. And
yeah.
It doesn't really,
but remember,
they
only had to do that because the Maroney pick didn't work out. If they had done a better job scouting with Maroney, he would have been their guy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, we are talking with Ian Rappaport of the Boston Herald. You can check out his Twitter blog at twitter.com/rapsheet. And, you know, I was also reading up on the whole situation. ESPN is going to do a documentary on the Brady Six, and pretty much, if you haven't heard, the Brady Six, it's going to pretty much chronicle the six quarterbacks that were picked ahead of Tom Brady in the 2000 NFL draft and what they're doing now. So, you know, actually, I want to tell you about this, Ian. When I went back and I looked at the film, I looked at his Michigan film just to see, maybe did we miss something? Maybe, you know, was there something there that we just overlooked? And I was just trying to figure out, why was he picked in the sixth round? And when I looked at the film, Ian, I saw a six-round pick. I saw a pretty decent college quarterback that split time with Drew Henson. And, you know, he did some things that were impressive enough to get drafted, but I think he was correctly selected in the sixth round. I mean, obviously with the hindsight being 2020, you'd pick him number one overall, but based on his college career, I think they paid him correctly. How about you?
Yeah, it's funny to look back. You know, obviously they pegged him, you know, way short because, you know, if you did a draft of a decade, he would probably be the number one pick. But it's amazing to think about because he was too skinny, he was slow, he didn't have a great arm. He had a good career, a lot of comeback wins, good leader, but did split time and, you know, didn't establish himself as a elite college quarterback. And, you know, what's amazing is that, you know, if you go back and look and you study his career and try to figure out where everyone went wrong, I'm not sure I see it. In fact, you know, it would be good if people would say, oh, man, you know, I really learned a lot from, you know, Tom Brady going the sixth round. Here's what we missed. Here's what everyone overlooked. Here's what we overvalued. But we see quarterbacks with so-so college careers for elite programs without strong arms who won a lot, and they still go in the sixth round. I mean, shoot, that's where Greg McElroy is going to go this year. Same sort of thing. I don't know what everyone missed, but it really shows the unpredictability of the draft because Tom Brady, with his unique talents, and Bill Belichick with the system and the program that he was running, it's like magic. Like, how could anyone have guessed? It just, magically work.
I don't think they really missed. I think it's just a matter of Tom Brady was given an opportunity and he took it and ran with it. You know, he worked his tail off to improve because you look at his arm strength in college, it was not nearly what it is now. So I think he just worked his tail off and improved his weaknesses until the point where he has no weaknesses. So it's not a matter of did anybody miss on him. It's more a matter of he just worked his behind off to get to where he was. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, and you know, he also does a great job of a bizarre sort of overlooked skill, which is before the snap, looking at what the defense either gives him or is going to give him, finding the best matchup, and putting the ball where it needs to be. And diagnosing a defense before a play or what the defense is going to show before a play and finding your best matchup and being able to deliver the ball on time, that has nothing to do with arm strength or 40 or, you know, you can't exactly see that in college because maybe he didn't know how to do that particular skill in college or whatever, but you know, there's no way to guess as to whether a quarterback will be a mastermind in those, you know, 0.8 seconds it takes to diagnose a defense or not. And, you know, Brady has that skill, and I don't know how he got it. I assume he worked for it, but maybe it's innate as well. But, you know, that's kind of led him to where he is now.
Absolutely. Great stuff from Ian Rappaport of the Boston Herald. Also, he is a maven on Twitter with over 10,000 followers. You can check him out on twitter.com/rapsheet. So, Ian, want to thank you for the time and hope there's a season in 2011.
All right, man. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. That was Ian Rappaport again, bostonherald.com. And, again, follow him on Twitter, twitter.com/rapsheet. This has been an on-the-clock episode of the New England Patriots. Broke down everything, including Tom Brady and his bad dancing. But I want to thank Dan McGowan and Rick Saratella for putting this together. I'm your host, Football Rob, signing off.